Okay, so this is an interview with Owen Wilson on Thursday, 26th of February 2015. The interview is for the Canterbury History Foundation, funded by the 2014 Canterbury Community History Award. The interviewer is Kim Newth. The interview is being recorded at Ranadale Veterans Care, 59 Hanson's Lane, Upper Riccarton, Christchurch. The interviewer will also be taking shorthand notes during this interview. This is file number F002. So Owen, just to pick up from where we were, we were asking, what was going through your mind, and you know, during all that time, and could you move at all?
Not once. I remember going in, and he drove the APC to the foot of the embankment because the driver was killed, and actually had stopped there then. Then they got out. Well, we all got out, including this gunner bloke, and then we were standing over there looking for a bit of anything to give you a little bit of protection. And the gunner bloke, he was standing there, and I remember him sort of looked back and said, well, have a look over here, a bit over there. Next thing, boom.
Can you remember his name?
Eh?
Can you remember his name?
Oh, no, I didn't know him.
No.
Never knew their names. Yeah, but he was a pommy.
Yeah.
And he was a gunner.
And next minute you were on the ground.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we were both out of the ABC body and looking for a bit better cover.
And so you weren't able to move once you'd been shot. You were just laid out.
Oh, no, if
you'd
wandered around, you'd just be just a dead hell.
And were you able to get any water during all that time?
No, nothing.
Mm.
In fact, when we go back to Bari, to 3GH Hospital, I'd about 2 hours of life left into me when I got a bleeding to death.
Mm. So you were in a bit of a bad way, weren't you?
Well, you see, with the old serge trousers, that sort of more or less partially sealed it, and the bullet lead was a clean cut. It's not a jagged cut, and it was clean, and after 12 hours out there, it had sort of dried, and the serge in the trousers had sealed itself over. I wasn't even able to put a first aid emergency on it.
Because
I couldn't bloody want to do
that. So how much blood had you lost then? An enormous amount.
Oh, I wouldn't know.
No, yeah.
Well, you see, they'd start pumping blood into me as soon as I got
back to
the hospital.
And had the bullets, like, just gone through, like, had they hit bone and stuff?
Some had gone through. Just missed this big main bone here. One went right through there, two in there, and then into my hips. And then when I got back to New Zealand, I had two hip replacements and a knee replacement.
Oh, jeepers. Yeah. It's fairly thorough, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was strung up on these stretching bloody things for about 2 months in the hospital.
Mm.
You know, these things that stretch you out with the weights on the end of it.
Right,
yeah. The old wooden frameworks they used to have. And then drop the cable over the end with a bloody weight. Big elastic and plaster up each side of the leg. And this wee one here would plaster for a starter. Then to put him over onto the stretcher. And by geez, that was painful. Bloody... I was on that for 2 months.
Was that whilst you were still in Italy?
In Bari.
You told me, I think the other day, you were taken to a field hospital initially, but that...
Yeah, well, you got the... casualty clearing station. That's the first... That was your first move from the field as a temporary hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, I don't know, they started bombing that... And they all took off. Our padres and nurses and whatnot, they all disappeared and left us blokes lying on stretchers.
Mm.
We had to stay there. We couldn't couldn't move.
Oh, dear.
You see, I'd have broken leg.
And so you're not sure how you got to Barry, were you? But it sounds like you were flown.
No, I did. I wouldn't have found out.
Mm.
We did fly. We were flown down
into
both 3GH at Barry. Then we had a hospital on Barry's side and the other on Senegalia on the other side of Italy.
Mm.
Yeah, Barry was full of littered and blown up German ships.
Mm.
In there would have been sunk, and one day sunk themselves. Bloody hell of a mess.
Yeah. And so whilst you were in Barry, I think you said the war had ended, or it had already ended. Sometime close to that time anyway. It was certainly getting close to the end of the war.
It was getting close.
Mm. And
April. Yeah, it was... Peace in Europe was signed before I left Bari.
Mm.
You see, on the 18th of May, April rather, it was the day I reckon I got my birthday and present, and then I think the 6th of May was VE Day, wasn't it? Do you remember?
I should have it written down somewhere. I ought to be honest. Yeah, it sounds about right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, see, that's only 3 weeks later.
Mm.
I was still in Bari.
Yeah.
It was...
So you remember that you got shot basically on your birthday, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what I reckon. It was your birthday.
Yeah. Had you had anything from home before that? Like, did you get any cards or...
No.
Not that you remember. No.
No, yeah. No, I don't remember anything coming
from. No. Yeah, what a way to celebrate your birthday, eh? Or mark it.
That was my 22nd birthday.
Mm, mm.
Yeah, I was only 10 months from the time I left New Zealand until back in New Zealand.
And it must have been pretty hard on a young man then to have that sort of quite serious injuries and to have only been there for a short time.
It was.
Be hard on you, you know, mentally, to be lying in that bed with your legs up and everything.
I never played rugby or tennis after that. When I was home in South Canterbury, I was under 14, under 16, and under 18 representative at tennis and rugby.
Mm.
I never played either game again.
Mm.
I couldn't run. I took up the old man's game, bowls.
So that must have been frustrating, to say the least. Yeah.
Oh, no, I enjoyed the old one.
Yeah, yeah.
I was 55. Yeah, you see, in 55 we left Timaru and went up to Darfield.
I was just, before we get into that, I was just going to ask, came home on a Dutch hospital ship, didn't you?
Yeah,
the Orange. So
Orange.
Yeah. So were you able to walk at that time?
No,
you're still in...
I was still in a bit of crutches and on a stretcher when we come back into New Zealand. Old Peter Fraser would come down and welcomed us all home. Mm. Well done, boys, and all this. Bloody crap.
Yeah.
And then you see, from there we went, they ran a hospital train for those who were fit enough to travel. About 2 days later, we went up to Wellington Hospital and were assessed up there. And then by then I was on crutches.
Mm-hmm.
And we went up about 2 or 3 days later on a special hospital train through to Auckland. I got off at Levinna, where my parents had shifted to.
Right, yeah.
And then for about 2 months after that, I used to have to go up to Palmerston North 5 days a week on a special train for treatment at the hospital up there.
Mm.
God, what a bloody...
rigmarole. Yeah.
They had a fleet of ambulances meet the train at Palmerston North to cart you over to the hospital, which was a quite considerable distance out of the town.
I was going to ask, you mentioned that, other men were wounded or died that day the same day that you were, or in the same encounter, you know, in Italy.
Yeah.
So do you remember who any of them, like, were they, can you remember the names of any of those guys?
No, I've forgotten.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we've been together for over 3 years.
Yeah.
Three were killed in action that morning, and there's four died of wounds later. The other, my mate, he died just before last Christmas. He lived there.
Who was that?
Oh, Snow Wilkie lived there.
All right.
In Herbert, south of Oamaru. Oh, Snow. He had a stroke and died.
So, so mentioning this rigmarole of going into Palmerston North, so how long did it take for you to sort of heal up enough to, you know, start thinking about work again and getting back to a normal sort of life?
Oh, it was about Easter of 46, I suppose. I had a girlfriend, Timaru, and I couldn't get back there quick enough. The old man was started building, and he said, "You got to work with me, can you give me a hand?" I said, "No. You got a bloody Timaru boy, you know bloody well I got a girl down there."
Right, was that Molly?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So was that Molly with a Y or?
I-E.
I-E. And what was her maiden name?
Barker.
Barker.
Molly Barker.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So you moved down there in 46 then?
46, yeah, mm-hmm. 46. I just don't remember what stage it would be. 46, but it was a... Oh, I went down there before. Yeah.
And you must have married her fairly soon after that, did you? Or did you marry in 46 as well?
The next year, yeah.
47,
Yeah.
And they
built a house after that.
Was that in Timaru? Or?
Slowly. I barely get around, but I saved a lot of money by doing it myself.
Yeah, yeah. What had Molly done during the war? What did Molly do during the war?
She worked at a footwear factory, made footwear for the army services. She was a great. She had to stay in there. She wasn't allowed to leave.
Mm-hmm.
That was her wartime job.
Right. Yeah. And you started a family. How many kids did you?
1950.
Yep.
1950, yeah, right. Yeah, that's right, Lorraine, the oldest, that's the second girl.
So how many children?
Three. Two girls and a boy.
So what are their names?
That was Gaynor here.
G-A-Y.
Lorraine was the one out at Doylestone. And Geoffrey was the boy. He's up in Auckland.
So I better, it's Geoffrey, G-E-O?
J-E-F-F-R-E-Y.
And Gaynor, G-A-Y-N-O-R.
That's right.
And Lorraine, L-O-R-R-A-I-N-E, yep.
She's 65 this year, gets the pension.
Right, yeah. So Gaynor, how old is she?
Gaynor is 3 years younger.
Yeah.
Yeah, the wife lost one between the two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what year was Geoffrey born then? He must have...
He's about 58 now, I think.
Right, yeah. So. Crazy, isn't it? They're very much grown up now then, aren't they?
Yeah.
So do you also have grandchildren and great-grandchildren?
And great-grandchildren.
Yeah.
The little bloke's birthday the other day, he was 2. Josh, you got
so care. How many great-grandchildren have you got? Can you remember?
I think it's about eight or nine of each.
Right.
Yeah.
Goodness.
I told her I could keep the bloody zipped up now. That's enough.
Yeah, that's right. So you told me, I think your wife, Molly, she died quite young though, didn't she?
Yeah, she died at 40, unfortunately.
Yeah.
She had breast cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would have been a hard thing for you then, bringing up kids. How old were the kids?
8. Jeff was 8. About 10.
To 13. Quite young.
I think Lorraine was about 13.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it?
It was hard going.
Did you work in the building trade?
Yes, in the building trade.
Yeah.
But when I first started work, I could go up top. Hello. Yeah.
should just say on the recorder, we've got a lady coming in with a bringing a drink in. Okay, thanks. All right. Okay, so so hard years.
I started up the, I could go up the top and I'm doing it, and then I gradually got lower and lower and lower.
What was this built on building sites?
I couldn't climb up ladders, couldn't climb up steps. Mm. And I used to do all the sawing on the ground, on the hand saw, like cut dwellings and cut out frames and that sort of thing until the finish. I couldn't even do that. And I took a job in the workshop as a joiner.
Mm.
Where you're on the wooden floor all the time.
Mm.
You had machines to do your work.
Mm.
And you had trolleys to push your timber around. And
so you feel that the those wounds that you had at the war, you'd still, they were still affecting you, obviously.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, well, I got the sack. We went up to Darfield. I was reasonably good, but I deteriorated. And the boss wanted to retire. He was getting on, and he sold out to a young fella that was working with us. He bought the position. And it wasn't long after the only time I got the sack. Mm. And I said, all right, that's right. He waited. They were building a new two-story pavilion in Darfield. And he waited till they got started and went up there and saw the builders. And, oh, that's right, he sacked me and the apprentice.
Mm.
He just finished his time because he's getting short of work.
Mm.
He went up and saw this bloke and we could both get a job up there.
Mm.
And I said, I'll please myself, where are we going?
Mm.
And I'll find myself a job.
Mm.
Need to bother. Anyway, I jumped on
the So how old were you when that happened? When
55.
Right.
55.
Hard age to find another job,
55,
though, isn't it?
55, yeah. Mm. I biked home that night and I ran into the opposition builder coming up the road, his truck. So I said, hey, Bill, you don't want a carpenter, do you? I'm not much bloody good. But he said, I only was up to fill in top 60.
Mm.
He said, yes, we can give you a job. I would.
Oh, good, yeah.
So I went back to the workshop the next morning and told the boss, I said, you can stick your job up your ass. Bloody
fair enough too. Yes, yeah.
So, yes, I've got a job.
Yeah. So,
he won't know who it was. Oh, I'm not going to tell you. Mind your own business.
Mm, exactly. So have you needed ongoing treatment for these? Well, you mentioned just before you should talk about the fact that you recently had some shrapnel taken out. So
this is on the farms of North.
Yeah, no, that... in terms of your wounds, you mentioned about having had some shrapnel taken out. Yeah. So tell me what happened there. Yeah.
Well, he thought it was a skin cancer.
This is in your top of your
this
head.
This is only 12 months ago.
Yeah.
He thought it was a skin cancer. So he hacks into it in his own surgery and then sent the bits into the hospital for testing. And then they sent the result out and told him to send them into me.
Mm.
Because it wasn't skin cancer at all. And they have another look at it. So they dug a bit deeper and got a bit of shrapnel out.
Classic, isn't it? You still got bits on you.
I suppose they got it all there, but they left quite a hole, didn't they?
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, yeah.
I say to Jake, I said, he used to call me Woody Nobrain at school.
Yeah.
And I said, they just wanted to laugh. To have a look to see what was in there.
Right.
And I said, there was a brain there.
Yeah.
They're still there. Yeah.
So, I mean, people talk of the, you know, post-traumatic stress experienced by soldiers returning home. So can you relate to that? You know, did you feel it affected you a wee bit?
Post-trauma.
Yeah, because some people I've talked to talked about being a bit away with the fairies for a while after they first came home. Do you feel...
No, I think I sort of settled down.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, quite well after it.
Yeah, I suppose you had a lot of, you know... treatment.
I never frightened of talking to anybody about it.
Mm.
So you get a lot of these people that come back and they no, you don't talk about the war.
Yeah.
I can't see why you can't.
No, yeah. So you did talk about it.
I did, yeah. Or I did.
Yeah.
Anybody say, what happened? What did you see? And that sort of thing. I never hesitated.
Right, okay. And that probably made it easier in a way because you got it off your chest, didn't you?
Of course you did, yeah. And I think it was good because people were inquisitive. Like your interview, it's like from go to woe because I've explained to you what happened right from the day I got hit. And that. What's the point in trying to hold it back?
Yeah.
It's happened.
Yeah.
You're still here.
Yeah. And what a crazy experience to have had as a 22-year-old.
But my God, there ain't many of us left now.
No, yeah.
You won't find any younger than me.
No.
Oh, you see, you had to be 90, over 90, to qualify for that life membership.
So I was going to ask, actually, what year did you get involved with the RSA quite quickly after you got home? RSA, Return Services?
The day after I got discharged, I was in Timaru then. I went down to the RSA and joined up as a member.
Right, yeah.
And I've paid myself every year since then, up till last year. So I paid the sub for almost 70 years.
Right, yeah.
Then you give me on the age, you had to be over 90 to qualify to get the life membership.
From a life membership, yeah. Have you belonged, what branch have you belonged to?
Christchurch.
Memorial RSA, yeah.
Christchurch Memorial RSA. Mm-hmm.
So
there's quite a lot of branches in town here.
Mm.
So yeah, I'm 50 years out in Darfield. Well, I was a member of the Hororata Melbourne RSA, which was a sub branch of
Hororata.
Hororata Melbourne RSA.
Melbourne, right? Yeah.
Hororata was a township, and the other was the district.
So you started off living in Timaru, but then you moved up to Darfield, did you?
But when I come back from the war, my parents had gone to North Island. So I boarded in Timaru when I went back down there to start work.
Then built your own house. I did,
first place.
And so how did you end up in Darfield then? Why did you decide to move to Darfield, or what year was that? Can you remember?
Yeah, 55.
Right.
Yeah, because Lorraine was born in 1950, and she would go to kindy when we left Timaru. And she started school as soon as she got to Darfield in 55. Yeah.
Right, yeah. And so that was just following building work.
And building work,
yeah.
I applied for the... answered that in the paper and applied. It was rather funny because I was working... This was a brother and brother-in-law at this firm out in Darfield. And they came from Timaru originally.
Oh, okay.
And I was working with two of their brothers in Timaru at the time.
Right, okay.
They came down. Jack and Linda, the Myers was their name. They came down and said, we'll come down Sunday and see you. And then it was found out that I didn't know who they were until he rang up his brother Bert in Timaru.
Yeah.
And said, Bert rang me up.
Hello.
I'll just pause this for a minute.
G'day.